Good morning, folks. Do come and grab a seat. We're going to make a start. It's really good to see you. If you're a guest here this morning, you're especially welcome. We'd love to get to know you a little bit later on. Around about 12 o'clock, probably about 11:45, we're going to be praying for people. And it's going to be one of those special moments where we just ask God in his love and his goodness to come and meet with us as adults, the children and youth. They'll be out doing other stuff. But then around about 12 o'clock, we're going to have tea and coffee next door. So if you're a guest this morning, we'd love you to. We hope you'll enjoy the morning, but stick around a bit later so that we can say hi and catch up a little bit, tell you a little bit about the church. This week, has anybody been anywhere other than where you normally are this week? Anybody been anywhere interesting? Sarah, where have you been? Shropshire. Okay, that's quite interesting. Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, I'm not going to bother asking anybody else. That's clearly the most exciting place. I was in Cheltenham Hospital, which isn't quite as exciting. Why do I tell you this? Whilst I was sat in this really busy, noisy waiting room, I was reminded of something 20 years or 19 and a half years that happened earlier, where we rocked up at church like we did this morning. And Liz and I, we had one of those car seats that you put your baby in and then you just left it places and forgot about it. Do you know the ones I mean? Where they just fall asleep, you rock them and off you walk. And we used to do that pretty much every Sunday morning when we set up for church. And then people would arrive and there were piles and piles of people and the noise levels would go up. And this one particular Sunday morning, I remember it being so noisy as everybody was rocking up at church. It was great, great atmosphere, looking forward to meeting with God. And in the midst of all this noise, I heard Emily crying. And I remember later that day just thinking, how did I hear the voice of our first daughter, not our best daughter, just to be clear, they're equally fantastic. But how did I hear the voice of Emily in the midst of all these other voices and all of this noise? And I think there is something built into us about hearing the voice of those that we love and those that love us. And I want to read you some verses from Psalm 29 that speak about the voice of God. And my prayer this morning is that every single one of us in this place will hear the voice of the God who loves us. Amen? Okay, you need to be a little bit more Pentecostal than that for me. Just at the beginning, then you can be quiet for an hour. We want to hear the voice of the God who loves us this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's great. Andy nearly blew me off the stage. That's good. All right, just get hold of these words. Psalm 29, some verses from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Lord, we pray this morning. There are so many voices around us in our lives. And we ask this morning that today in this place, whether we're in this hall or out in one of the rooms with the children, the young people, we pray that we will hear the voice of the God who loves us. The God who is more powerful than we often choose to acknowledge. The voice of the God who knows exactly what is best for us, better than we know ourselves. So we make a decision, as much as we're able this morning, to say, Lord, we want to hear your voice.
Hello, everybody. 4 weeks today, we are having our Christmas services, the 22nd of December. So we've got our family Christmas morning for our church family in the morning, which is going to be exciting, lots of people involved in it. But in the afternoon, we've decided this year that we're going to combine our Carols by Candlelight service with our Enfest Christmas and our Christingles all together. So that's a lot of things happening. It's going to be from 5 to 7 on the Sunday afternoon, evening time. But we want to not just have it for ourselves. We want to reach out to our community and invite other people. So we'll be inviting all the people that are on our Enfest database to come along and to enjoy it. So we can't put something like that on without a whole lot of people helping us. And I know that it's awesome to be blessed when we just feel that we've arrived as a Christian when God blesses us. when something happens in our lives and we just feel blessed in whatever area it is, spiritually, financially, in our health, we just go, wow, isn't it awesome? But I honestly believe in Christianity, there's a whole nother level to that. And that's when you are blessed and you can be a blessing to others. And I think this is a great opportunity for us as a church to be a blessing to other people. And there's so many different areas where we can get involved and serve. As you've heard, there's lots happening that day. So we're going to need people beforehand to try and get all the things ready, because we're doing Christmas crafts for the End Fest. We're doing the Christingles, which is a craft in itself that has to get set. But after the morning service, we've got to set up this venue. We've got to set up the gym. We've got to set up the canteen. We're doing refreshments afterwards. So we need everybody on board, whether it's greeting, whether it's helping beforehand, whether it's a setup team, whether it's the pack up afterwards, because there'll be a whole lot of mess that we've got to clean up. But it's a great opportunity for us to be a blessing to other people. And so I just want you to think about it, pray and ask God and say, God, where can I get involved? And if you're wanting to sign up and say, put me down, this is a time that I can give at Christmas time. This is something that I can give of myself, my talent, my time, and I can give it to them. Just come and chat to me afterwards, and we'll just put all the names together, and I know that together we'll pull together, we'll grow, and we'll feel wonderful for being a blessing, because the highest form of Christianity is to bless others, not just to be blessed. So let's get involved.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, good. On the same theme of Christmas, is there a Lorna Horswell in the room? I've called her the wrong name on purpose. I do this regularly on a Friday in the office. Laura Horswell is going to come and tell you possibly about the most exciting bit of outreach we're going to do this year. Well, this Christmas. Okay.
Hello. Okay, so I want to share with you about a situation that I was in last week. It was a stressful situation, and my initial reaction was to have a rant to Johnny, like I usually do. But I thought to myself, no, Johnny doesn't need this at this time. Poor Johnny. Okay. So then my second thought was, what would Jesus do? So this just made me a lot more calm, a lot more rational about how I coped with that situation. And then that got me thinking, this Christmas, maybe we should be thinking, what would Jesus do? And in the Bible, he welcomes the lost and the last and the least. And these people, they're all around us. They're our friends. They're our neighbours. They're our work colleagues. That's an opportunity for us to do just that, and to reach out to these people in whatever way that we can. So I just want to invite you to have a think, have a pray about what you can do.
We've got five people that Liz has asked just to come and read five little bits of scripture. And the reason for this is we really want to pray for our energy children this morning. Voltage and Ignite, the youth groups you're going to be staying in during the worship. We want to pray for our children. And there's five things that earlier this morning I was thinking, all right, let's pray for these five things. Just think for a moment about your children's playground, or if you haven't got children, people that you know, mates, friends of the family, think about what it looks like to do life in a playground. Now, here's what I reckon. Your life is easier than lots of our kids in their playgrounds. It can be a tough environment, can't it? And so I thought this morning we would pray for strength, peace, direction, protection, and joy. Is that okay? I want you to get hold of these things, and I've got a scripture for each of these, but I want us to pray with faith for our children, that they would really know God's strength, his peace, his direction, his protection, and his joy. Is that okay? So we don't often do this, so I want us to really get hold of it and really pray for them. So if you are one of those five people that Liz nabbed on the way in and gave you a Bible verse, would you just come up now? This is how we're going to do it. Matt's going to give me a hand. He's going to pass the microphone along. And we need you going in number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which I'm sure you can organize yourselves. Jacob, you're the only boy. That is very brave. Thank you for doing that. A token man out of the lips of Caroline Bennett, the token man. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to say the word that we're going to pray for, and then the person is going to read the scripture, and I'm going to pray for all of our children. So you might want to just have a little look around you and see if there are any children around you, children or young people, but particularly kids in the energy groups. Just be thinking about them, all right? You might not know their names. Have a quick look at them. Don't freak them out. Don't stare at them for a long time. But we're going to pray for them. All right, so the first one is strength.
I can do all things through him who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13.
So Father, we pray for our children, that you would strengthen them, give them strength to stand up for their faith, to know that you're with them, that you can become the strength that they need in every day and in every situation. Amen. We want to pray for peace.
Peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4, verse 6.
And Lord, we pray for the children in our church, for a peace that comes from God, that says we're going to choose to trust God in every situation, and he will give us peace. And we pray that would be true in their daytimes, and we pray it would be true in their nighttimes. In Jesus' name, amen. The third one is direction.
Direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6.
Lord, thank you that you can give us the direction that we need when we don't know where to go. And there'll be people in this room with incredible stories of God directing our lives. And so we pray for our children that they would learn to trust your voice and to go for it with you and say, Lord, I want to know what you would want me to do, and then I want to do it. So we pray for all of our children that need some direction in their lives at the moment. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you direct them with the choices that they make? In Jesus' name, amen.
Protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 2.
Lord, we pray for the children in our church in a world that can be really tough. We pray that you would protect what they see. We pray that you would protect what they hear. And Father, we pray that you would protect them physically, emotionally, and spiritually, in the school and outside of their schools. Father, we pray that they would be guarded by the God who loves them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joy. You make me known to the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, verse 11.
And Father, last but not least, we pray for our children, that each one of them would be filled with the joy of God. We pray that they will love their lives because you're in their life. And Father, we pray that even in difficult situations, that our children would learn to reach out to you and trust you, and there'd be a joy from deep down inside of them that nobody can take away. Father, we pray for every one of our children that the joy that they know in their lives will increase today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Good to see you all. Like the Joe 90s? These are new. Okay, I'm very self-conscious about these, so just to get out there. But I can see now, so that's kind of good. I hope you've been enjoying the Encountering Love series. I'm so pleased that Linda and Dave were preparing things, thinking through what would be good things to look at as a church, and we've been looking at Encountering Love. And we're coming towards the end of the series, and I was just struck, just sitting there now thinking, some of you might be here, you might never have been told that God loves you before. It might be a new thing. Or we might be sitting here thinking, I've been told 1,000 times that God loves me. It's cool. I just had this sort of feeling it'd be good to remind everyone, tell you all how much God loves you this morning. He really, really does love you. A 10-week, 11-week, however many week series it is we're doing, isn't going to touch on how much God really loves us. It's a good series, but it isn't going to grasp it. I was thinking about Philip. Where's Philip? Is he here? A guy, where are you? There you are. I'm not sure how old you are, but you're not young anymore, are you? Still learning about God's love. Still, you know how much God loves you. The children out there this morning just starting to see how much God loves them. So I wanted to say that to you this morning. However many times you've heard it before, God loves you so much. Okay. Don't you love it when somebody stands up at the start of their talk and they share something that God's put on their heart for specific people in the church? I've had that a few times. This is something that Matt in particular is really, really good at. And I wanted to take the opportunity this morning to actually encourage Matt a bit. Yeah, I wanted to tell Matt how much I love him. I really did. So Matt, do you want to just come up a minute, mate? Come up here. I've got a few things that I've written them down, actually. I've written them down, Matt, just to really come up here. Yeah, I've written them down here. So sometimes, Matt, you think you know better than I do, and you don't. All right, that's one thing. In fact, some of the stuff you come out with, I think, to be honest, you might as well be my worst enemy. Okay, so, well, that went quiet, that one, that's good. You like to think, Matt, you've got it all together. You're always giving it all this. You make out you're someone who will always be there for me, but I think the truth is I'm pretty sure you won't. Yeah. You really need to work on your temper, Matt, actually. Your road rage in particular, a bit embarrassing, going for the horn 2 minutes after somebody's gone past. Frankly, embarrassing. I've confided in you, Matt, some really important stuff in my life, and, well, you seem to have completely missed it. Yeah. When are you ever going to actually listen properly? Finally, this is the last thing. I would just want to say how much I love you this morning. Finally, I've got this strange, clear picture in my head that somehow you're going to die this really painful death. And, well, it's sort of because of me. Okay, so, yeah, I hope you're feeling affirmed this morning.
Thanks, mate.
Love you. Yeah, you can go and sit down. Good, and dwell on that. Okay, wow. I feel so much better. I actually quite enjoyed that. This morning, before you think I'm completely mad, we're thinking about the Apostle Peter. And just in case you're wondering what on earth it's all about, all of those things I've just said to Matt are things that Jesus said to Peter, apart from the road rage bit, maybe. Maybe not quite as I said them, but Jesus said all those things. So I just want to say, I don't think today's message is super complicated, but it's one that really needs to be listened to honestly for ourselves. We're going to be thinking about how Christ in us means in every part of us. He decides what we need to hear. And when he says it, it's okay. It's more than okay, it's brilliant. And we're going to see why. Christ in us means him coming into our lives on his terms. There's nothing we should try to hide from God. These things just get in the way of the potential which we have in him. With that intro, I'm guessing that a few people could be thinking, oh no, I don't want to think about this. You might be feeling a bit on edge already. There's things in our lives which we kind of don't want to let God have. We keep them under wraps. But if you want more of God's love in your life, it comes with his right to challenge us. But his challenges are always good. I said at the start, he loves us. So God's challenges are always good. He looks to bring us closer to him. There's a song I've come across the last week or so, and I wanted to play it at the start. It's a really good sort of take on how we sometimes come to church. So if you can play that for us. Just in case you're on listen again, if anyone's crazy enough to do that, it's by a guy called Matthew West, and it's called Truth Be Told. Really, it's an invitation for us to be totally real with God. I wonder how you've come to church this morning, what face you've got on. When we think about Peter, at times, he can almost be a bit of a comedy character, I think, for some people, because of his impulsiveness and what can seem like his glaring mistakes. But that's just so way too simplistic. Yeah, Peter has his moments. I love him. I love reading some of the things he does. We'll touch on a couple of them. But he wasn't some bumbling character just to laugh at. Today I want to think about what it was that meant Peter, having faced some really, really tough challenges from Jesus, could go on to preach to see 3,000 new believers in one day, to live his life confidently with faith, having been told by Jesus the kind of death he would face. To be someone ready to change his traditional beliefs, the stuff instilled in him as he grown up. To trust God and share the story of God's embrace and love with those he would otherwise have avoided like the plague. What was it that gave Peter the confidence to work through major disagreements within the new church as it was growing? His letters contain encouragement to Christians in really difficult circumstances, saying, stand fast in the true grace of God. It'd be a fraud, wouldn't it, if he didn't mean it, if he hadn't lived that, if he hadn't had to stand fast in the grace of God. So Peter didn't always have an easy time of it with Jesus. Jesus wasn't always telling him he loved him and everything from then on would be fine. But Peter knew beyond all doubt that he was loved. And actually, the more I've looked at it, the more I've seen this is true in life, the more we're loved by someone, the more we want them to speak into our lives, don't we? The more we trust them. Our main reading today is from John 21, 15 to 19. There's actually a really nice Peter moment just before where we're reading from. It's all happening just after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the disciples have been out fishing. And when they hear there's a stranger on the beach, they see there's a stranger on the beach shouting to them to cast their nets on the other side. Now, all of this should seem really familiar to Peter because it's happened to him before, early on when Jesus first called him. But it's not Peter that spots it. It's John who has to say, oh, it's the Lord. He's on the beach waiting for us. I love it. It's a bit of a Peter moment. He's, oh, yeah, I've been here before. He jumps out, runs in. Jesus is on the beach, cooked breakfast ready for them. And we read from verse 15 in John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So I was about to say I'm keeping my emotions in check, but I'm not really. I'm trying to keep my emotions in check. I think it's such a beautiful passage. So Peter, who's completely failed Jesus, his closest friend, Jesus, a friend who'd only ever loved him, he's just blatantly denied Jesus three times, saying, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. Imagine living with that on your conscience. Peter gets this opportunity to not just put things right, but to be recommissioned, given a new purpose. I want to look at three examples where on the surface we could say that possibly Jesus wasn't very loving to Peter. We might look at it and think, that doesn't seem very nice. And as we look through them, the question is, and I want to try and grab this, if you love Jesus, are you prepared to let him show you his love for you in a similar way to that that we're going to look at? So if you love Jesus, we sing loads of songs, I love you, Jesus. Are you prepared today to let him show his love to you in a similar way he showed it to Peter? So let's start with the first way, one way that Jesus challenged Peter. It might be the most well-known, and we read it in Matthew 26, verse 31 and on. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Ouch. I mean, Jesus could have been a bit more gentle, couldn't he? He could have said, I appreciate your sentiment, Peter. I know you sort of want to be there, but unfortunately, I don't think it's going to work out that way. But of course, I'd love it if you could stick with me. That would be great. No. Jesus really, really knows Peter. He knows everything about Peter. Is Jesus being prophetic when he says he'll deny him? Or does he just know Peter so well that he knows he's going to let him down? Well, I think it's both, yeah. It's partly prophetic and part just knowing who he was. Jesus was saying, Peter, it's no good hiding your fear from me. I know you. I do wonder what Jesus would have said and done differently if Peter had been a bit more honest and said, Jesus, I'm scared stiff. For me, it wasn't so long ago that I got caught in a bit of a time of just being able to see the things that I can't do. I was in one of those sort of downers, really, where I felt inadequate and I was listening to kind of lies, which I'm sure some of us do from time to time. By the time I actually came to share it with someone, I had a nice kind of backlog of issues to share with them. And the person I shared it with, I kind of spewed everything out. And he said, "I think you're mildly delusional." And I thought, that's a nice response. Thank you. Isn't that lovely? See, I could love and trust someone enough that they could say that to me. And I hope we can get that. Are they the kind of words Jesus would use? I think he probably would. I think we're seeing it with Peter. I think they were God's words. So the next example I want to look at with Peter is another familiar story, probably. It's when Peter is asked to have his feet washed. It's in John 13, if anyone wants to follow that. John 13, I think that's right. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you're never going to wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." It's a strange story, isn't it? Not the actual foot washing. You might be thinking foot washing, that's a bit strange. But that was just completely normal at the time. That was what was expected for guests, so I had their feet cleaned. But it's really strange, and there's a part of me that completely gets where Peter's coming from. Why would you let Jesus, the Son of God, wash your feet? I'm kind of with him. But there's this pride in Peter that actually doesn't recognize who Jesus is and hasn't learned that when Jesus wants to do something, it's for a reason. Jesus' love for Peter gets to the point again, doesn't it? There's no kind of jovial, "Well, Peter, your feet are a bit minging, a bit smelly, so you can sit this one out. I'll just carry on and do the others." No, Jesus loves Peter by calling it out, doesn't he? He says, "Peter, either you're in or you're out. Unless I wash your feet, you've got no part of me." Some of us here this morning, you know in your heart Jesus wants you to be all in, not half in. There's areas of your lives where, if you're honest, you know there's a holding Jesus at arm's length going on, keeping him at a safe distance from a bit of your life. There's this lovely conversation in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I expect most of you have read it. For any of you that don't know the story, Aslan is like the image of Jesus in the Narnia stories. And there's this conversation. It says, "Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe?" "Well, I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." What's Jesus saying to you? What part of your life are you resisting Jesus getting his hands on? And it's different for all of us. For some of us, it could be anger. Others, it might be putting people down. I'll try not to look at faces as I say these things. Could be unforgiveness. Could be an addiction, pornography, gambling. Perhaps you've just become a bit cynical. Or maybe you're bitter about something and you can't let it go. You know what? Jesus isn't surprised. But will you let him challenge you? The third example and the last example I'd like to look at is in Matthew 16, where Jesus predicts his death. In verse 21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Whoa. Hang on a minute. Is it just me? I thought Peter was meant to be one of Jesus' three closest friends. That's right, isn't it? There's a good bit of teaching there. We see it a little bit further forward in the story, actually, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John for an exclusive viewing of his transfiguration, an incredible moment. And actually, there's another nice Peter moment in there when he decides to start trying to make shelters for Elijah and Moses and Jesus to stay in. But that's a bit of an aside. The point I want us to get hold of is this, that Jesus challenges those closest to him the most. Think about that for a moment. Jesus challenges those closest to him the most. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, has this powerful vulnerability about him. Does this mean Peter liked being called Satan? I somehow doubt it. But did it derail him? Did it leave him with a chip on his shoulder, feeling less loved? No, it really didn't. How do we know? Well, it's there as we see the story of Peter's life unfold in the Bible. Over the months and years to come, he could look back and say, "Jesus was right. I was thinking about me, the way I wanted to do things. I'd missed that he was all giving and all and showing how to do things his way." I want to be really sort of clear about something here. I want to be clear about sin and how God sees it, because we can get ourselves a bit tied up in knots. Like all of us, Peter stumbled about a bit in his relationship with God. He stumbled about quite a lot. Peter had sin in his life. And it's good to be reminded that God isn't shocked by our sin. He's not sitting waiting on some distant cloud in communication with the angels, feeding back that Matt Coombs, he didn't give to that charity he said he was going to. And God saying, "Oh, shock, horror, ring the alarm bells." He knows full well that I'm going to mess up. He knows it. He knows you're going to mess up. That's not to suggest for one moment that sin doesn't matter. Why? It's because carrying sin in our lives robs us of what God could be doing. That's the dreadfulness of sin. N.T. Wright brilliantly talks about our calling in life, all of us. It's to be image bearers of God. The worst thing that sin does is to divert us from this incredible calling we have. After all, it's how the world gets to see God. People see Jesus in our lives. It's Jesus' strategy to change the world. So when Jesus challenges Peter or corrects him, it's not because God is shocked by sin. It's not he's annoyed by Peter's issues. It's because he loves Peter so much that he wants him to be all he can be. When Jesus asks these questions or makes these challenging statements to Peter, they're not coming from nowhere. Jesus and Peter have shared this incredible love for one another. Of course, it was initiated by Jesus. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Jesus clearly has a role for Peter, just like he does for me and you. He wants Peter to change the world. Again, like he wants us to change the world around us. But back to that reading, the first reading, before he does anything, before he says, "Feed my sheep," he asks Peter those three questions. Do you love me? And that's the question I want us to let God ask of us this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him enough to let his love challenge you? Where do you need to listen to the challenge of Jesus? And like Peter, know that coming from his voice of love, it's good. It's good to hear it. A God who loves us and challenges us. To put it another way, more bluntly than I maybe normally would be, If Jesus isn't challenging you, there's probably something wrong. So as we come to pray, I really want to encourage you. Be somebody that says, I want to know Christ in me, in every part. I don't want to say, Jesus, just tell me the good stuff. I want you to be able to say, I so know he loves me. I want to hear it when he says, I want to change this bit of you because it's for your good.